Hello, is this Jennifer?
Yes, it is.
Hello, this is Demetra. We have finally
Hi.
connected. Hi. Hi. So, is this fine? Have you finished? Okay, good.
It's a good time.
Okay, good. Thank you. So thanks again for agreeing to do this phone interview about the Wisdom of the Elders program. As I mentioned earlier, we are going to use some of the information that you provide to inform us in the writing of a technical manual to replicate the program in other communities. So we really value your input and your perspective based on the experience that you had with Wisdom of the Elders. Quick reminder, I'm recording this, but it's an audio recording that will only be heard just by the writers of the manual and no one else. It's not going to be public information.
Okay, no
Yeah,
problem.
good. So before we start, do you have any questions for me before we begin?
No.
Nope, you're ready to go?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So I'll run through a list of pretty straightforward questions. This should only be about 20 to 30 minutes max. So, all right. Starting off with, I'll ask a few questions about the planning and the operations of the program. Were you involved in any of the planning for Wisdom of the Elders? And if so, how?
You mean the original Murfreesboro?
Yes.
No, actually, I came on to the project as a student facilitator, and they'd already started their genealogy workshop, and Professor Nwankwo knew that I was looking for additional work as a research assistant. And so she's familiar with my work. She knows that in many ways our research interests align, and had taken a class with her that was a lot about like African American autobiography as a genre and interview methodology, because that was one of the things that we had to do at the project. So she let me know that this is something that they were working on and brought me on. And initially I was told that, my job was just to assist with the computer aspect of the program. And that a lot of the seniors didn't have a lot of computer literacy, weren't very comfortable working on them, and so they would just need sort of individual attention. And so when I went in, my job was just to help them navigate Ancestry.com, and make them feel a little bit more comfortable. And then, with every workshop, there was maybe some component where they needed assistance or help. So that was my role, and it was me and one other student. And for the most part,
Hello?
yeah, can you hear me?
I think you cut out for a few seconds there.
Okay.
So I heard that you and another student were doing this role of helping with the computer literacy aspect. Is that right?
Right. Yes,
Okay.
so me and another student, and at the end of every session, we wrote a brief reflection about, just our time with the elders, and gave feedback on, what worked, what didn't, and tried to contribute as best we could to the structure of the program. So that was pretty much what I did as a student facilitator in Murfreesboro.
Okay, so with the prior planning of the genealogy workshop, that was taken care of by the time you came on board. And you just mentioned that you're also asked to help with the structure. Did anything come of that? Was there any feedback that you were able to give to sort of rework a few things or improve?
I mean, I think that, you know, the reflections, I mean, at least on my end, I never know the kind of usefulness or what the takeaways were for, say, Dolores and Stefan Wangwo when they read the student reflections. But I know that for me, it was always a nice space to sit and to consider the kind of mutual benefits of participating in a program like this. So, you know, coming away from a session and feeling like I talked to people and just learned so much or felt enriched and that much more fulfilled by my interaction with Wisdom of the Elders. So, I mean, affirmed the fact that I was doing something that I cared about.
Right.
And that was important and significant in all the ways that I think the program intends to be. And just in the sense that, you know, it is important to have that opportunity to not just inside of the sort of structure of the program, but in the individual interactions of everybody who is working to make this thing happen and make it a reality, that I lost my train of thought, but but mostly I was just, you know, I think what I'm getting at is that you want to make sure that there is an emphasis, everybody's story, everybody's life matters, and that happens on a kind of micro, like in a micro way, just even in one-on-one interactions, like afterwards, after all the work is done and you're just talking to them, and, you know, it's like that's still a big part of what's happening, you know, like in the room together. So, if that makes any sense.
Right. You mentioned that this is mutually beneficial for them and for you, and that the reflections helped to bring that out and to bring that to the surface. So it sounds like that's a really important part of this particular kind of workshop, is finding a way to bring out that mutually beneficial aspect. How many times did you meet with the elders?
Let's see. I mean, it was towards the beginning of the program that I came on, so I was there for pretty much every session going forward. My job wasn't to, I didn't say conduct any interviews, so I only participated as a facilitator for the workshop component. But I would say at least 10 to 12 visits out to Murfreesboro.
Okay. These were 10 or 12 visits. Because the genealogy workshop was structured that way, tell me more about how that went structurally.
So the structure is broken down. It's like a semester basically, and it's three individual workshops that are 4 to 6 weeks in length, and you meet once a week for 3 hours. So basically, you know, we met, I can't remember if it was a Thursday, but we met for 3 hours for a particular portion of whatever project we were working on. First it was genealogy, then there was an art component, where we were doing individual life panels.
Mm-hmm.
So we were working with this married couple, the Hodges, and they were taking them through just, there was three panels, each one was supposed to represent a, say, 20-year portion of their life. And they could do it sort of like collage. I mean, just any way that they wanted to visually narrate significant moments in their life. And then the next one was a focus on African-American churches in Rutherford County. And for that, we worked with a local historian who had been doing some research. And so that was like a composite of both them like feeding into his work, but also talking about their own experiences and the kind of like essential nature of the church within African American communities for things like gatherings and just, you know, its fundamental function. And the ways they felt like things were changing, or the, you know, the kids and the younger generation didn't necessarily gravitate towards the church, and so there was less of this sort of communal bond. So, you know, each one of those was about 4 to 6 weeks in length. And then at the end of it, there was an exhibition at Patterson so that they could present, you know, and talk about their work that they had done over the course of the semester. There was also a scavenger hunt component because there were some young kids who also were part of the Patterson, was a community center. So they were there, and I know that Professor Nwankwo ultimately wanted there to be some interaction between the elder community and the youth. And so she was trying to figure out how to have an educational, interactive component, and that was sort of where we landed. So each of the kids, you know, went and found individual questions to ask their particular elder, and that would sort of prompt them to talk about an aspect of their story. So, you know, it's just a way to have the conversation that is essentially not happening between these two groups, to get it started and to hopefully encourage the kids, you know, to talk to the older people in their lives.
Right. So did you have a role in facilitating these other workshops beyond the genealogy workshop?
I didn't. Everything was neatly conceptualized by the time that I got there. Most of the planning was done by the sort of core team at Patterson. So there were a couple of people, including the director of the community center, and then there was a genealogist, Mary Watkins, and then the couple, the Hodges,
mm-hmm.
the artists, and then Dr. Smith was the historian, and then it was Dolores and Professor Nwankwo,
right,
who were basically like a core group of planners. For that. So once I came in, everything was pretty much done.
And then, how did you help facilitate as a student? So with genealogy, you were helping them with the computer literacy, managing that
mm-hmm.
technical aspect. And then, were you involved in the art and the local
history
work?
Yeah, because with the art project, everybody had different levels of skill and comfort with drawing. And so one of the shortcuts that the Hodges came up with is that they could stencil or trace if they were more comfortable with that. And so we did some image searches for things. Like some people had actual, say, older pictures of places where they went to school or, you know, that they wanted to use. And like I said, to do more of a collage. Other people looked for things that, images that kind of reminded them or were reminiscent of moments from their own life so that they could then trace those and add them to the collage. And so we helped with the image search and printing on the computers.
Right.
And then also just a bit of the kind of like encouragement that comes with, they get very comfortable with one project, with one phase of the program, and then you change it up. And so a lot of people, a lot of the participants are sort of wary of moving away from the genealogy, and especially when it came to the art, I think that they were just like, well, I don't, you know, I don't have those skills. And so there was a kind of new discomfort with every new workshop that we presented them with. So in part, our job was to be, to listen and to encourage and remind them that, you know, we were there to help and that,
right,
that it was going to, be okay. That they don't they didn't have to look at their work comparatively or, you know, that it wasn't a competition or anything like that.
Yeah. So it sounds as though you provided a lot of moral support in addition to that, more of that technical support. Wow. So, okay. How many people, approximately, do you remember how many participants attended each week?
It tended to fluctuate, especially because a lot of them were, you know, coming to the centralized location from wherever their homes were. And even though they lived close by, sometimes the weather is a factor. I know that the snow, for instance, and just the cold, kind of icy roads deterred people from coming to sessions. And then, you know, just life. Sometimes people had things like funerals to attend or were sick or, you know, that kind of thing. So I would say that for a given session, it was probably around like 12 to 15 participants, even though I think that there were far more enrolled for the, in general. Like, I think it was closer to maybe like 25, 30 participants that they had enrolled at a given time, but it was always, say, about half or a little more than half that were regularly in attendance for each workshop.
Right. Did you find that any particular kind of workshop was more popular than the others?
I guess it just depended on, you know, it depends on who's in that room. A couple of people who were artists or who did have an affinity for, you know, working with paint and collage and stuff like that, they really enjoyed the art portion. Most of them really like the genealogy portion, but, you know, I think that in terms of the sort of pitch of the program, that's always the thing that is the real hook. You know, I mean, like, they want to discover more about their past and their families, and so access to things like Ancestry.com and help navigating them, I mean, that's really, that's something that I don't think a lot of other people and programs are offering them. So I definitely think that that was probably the biggest and most significant draw. But I do think that, you know, like, depending on where people's personal skill level and individual interests were, that everything kind of struck a chord with individual participants.
Right. In your opinion, is there anything that you can think of that could have been done to make it easier for individuals to participate in the program? Or was it just right the way it was?
No, I mean, I think that it's always like it goes by really quickly. And as I am doing my own work here in New Orleans with the planning for Wisdom of the Elders and the actually trying to make these things happen, I do think that it would be nice to have like maybe two sessions, 2 to 3 sessions at the beginning before you start any of the genealogy work, where you just focus on familiarizing them with the computer. Because that's a sort of ongoing thread of what's happening, a lesson that is continuing throughout the workshop. But it slows you down a little bit because there is this dual focus on helping them feel comfortable and teaching them how to use the machine and conducting genealogy research, which is its own sometimes frustrating endeavor and comes with its own issues, especially when you're talking about African-American genealogy and you're going back to, say, the 1800s. So, I think that in some ways, more pre-prep on the computer would be a nice thing to provide, especially because even though we're not strictly a computer literacy program, a lot of them wanted that and were interested in that, and it's offered through various entities. Like I remember one woman telling me that there were computer classes being offered through the local library and that her participation in the program was making her more curious about checking them out, especially because, like, she didn't like trying to learn from, say, her granddaughter. She found it was harder to work with family members who got frustrated or, more sometimes condescending, right. That kind of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting. That's a kind of challenge for the participants to plan for, to think about. That's a really good suggestion to have a kind of technical training prior might be helpful before diving into the content workshop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Were there any challenges that you encountered as a student facilitator for yourself working with this program? So is there anything that was not so easy from the perspective of a student facilitator that could be improved to help other student facilitators in the future?
The biggest thing was just the initial discomfort of, you have to be somebody who's comfortable working with older people and talking to strangers, quite honestly. because the first day that I got there, it's not like anybody's holding your hand or taking you around and introducing you to people. You just kind of have to jump in and do your best to not be an outsider in that room. And so you have to talk to and work with individually as many people as you can and really, I think it can be an uncomfortable role for some people, you know, because I mean, it's not always easy. You're dealing with a lot of different personalities. You know, everybody was really nice and welcoming. I didn't find it hard to talk to them, but that what there was that initial hurdle of, all right, you know, I'm coming in, they don't know me, and you know, I could say consistently work from week to week with the same people and minimize my impact, as opposed to trying really hard to get around to everybody and make sure I knew them and they knew me.
Right. Okay. That I can see how that might be an overlooked element that it's easy for us to assume that we'll just go and then things will naturally unfold, but it sounds like you're describing an intentionality that is necessary, that there you have to be deliberate about being sociable, being friendly, making sure you do get around to talking to everybody and interacting with everybody, or else you could easily fall into a groove of, oh, I'm comfortable with these five people and I'll spend
right.
most of my time with them. And I can see the potential for maybe some personalities that are not so easy and you still have to be professional and human and work with them too.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really interesting insight, and something worth talking about, I think, in the replication manual as a kind of, it's part of the job description and maybe a kind of student facilitator discussion or training beforehand or something. Okay. Let's see. We're wrapping up. I've got a couple more questions. Is there anything else that you can think of that can be done to make the program even better?
I mean, one thing I will say is that, and it's a small thing, but I've noticed that, so when I participated in Murfreesboro, there was a woman who was doing the catering for the program. So at the end of the session, after share their work, we all sat down together and ate a meal. And as small as it was.
I think you're fading. Hello?
Oh, am I?
Oh, now you're back.
Okay.
Okay. So you were saying there was a caterer at the center, and then?
Right.
Okay.
We sat down together for a meal at the end of every session, and I think that was really important. It's one of the things that I am trying to do here in New Orleans with my group as well. You know, we just started doing lunches at the end of our sessions, and I find that it's great for the camaraderie, and it's also great because, you know, you have that initial stage of them, say, performing the work that you ask them or put in front of them, you ask them to do. And then afterwards, there's a conversation generally amongst all of them about what was hard, about what they enjoyed, about, you know, like there's this way that you're getting their feedback, and you don't even really have to ask for it or prompt it. It's just a natural part of the conversation. And so there was a way in which that sort of like collective decompression at the end of each session over food was just a, you know, I think a really rich and generative part of it as well. It wasn't like it stopped or the work stopped or they stopped sharing their stories. You know, there was this continuation and this way in which, at least for me as observer and participant, it was interesting to see them still in their function and in their role and parting with them, you know, in those moments when they were less guarded and they were less, say, aware that they were doing the very thing that we wanted them to do.
Yes, yes. That's a really important piece. I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because it might seem small, but it's actually not small. It's huge, because it's reinforcing the community. And it's really all about the community, like the power of the community and the quality of the community generates all of this work on the individual level. They support each other, and they're working on individual projects, but they're working together in the same space. And that, I think, motivates people, and it enriches people to bring themselves forward and share themselves. And the food really helps. The conversation, the food. And that's a really nice way to end each session. Yeah, rather than just, oh, here's the workshop, here's the technical thing, have a great day, we'll see you next week. Which is how most things are done. And that's fine. But if we want this to be a community-based, community-driven program, what you just talked about really drives that in. So,
yeah.
Wow. Is there any other information that you can think of that you think is important for us to include in the manual?
Not at this moment, but if I think of anything that's essential, I will, I'll email you and let you know if I feel like I left out something major.
Okay. That's great. Great. All right. Wow. Thank you so much. Yeah. You've given really great, detailed, thoughtful, reflective answers. We really appreciate that. It's really helpful. Okay. Great. Thank you so much. Any questions for me before we end the call?
No. Good luck to you guys. I think the program is wonderful, and I think the manual is really essential. So.
Yeah, and do let us know if you have any further insights that come to mind, either from the Wisdom of the Elders or something, an experience you have with your own program in New Orleans. Like, hey, this just happened. Want to share.
Of course.
Loved it, or had a hard time with it, or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of your week.
Okay. You too.
Thanks. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.